in his 6 years as lieutenant governor, Brian Calley has sought to be more than a figurehead. The Snyder administration's second-in-command has led important efforts aimed at advancing reforms in mental health and prescription drugs and opioids. His name is also in circulation as a potential successor to Governor Rick Snyder. To update all of these topics and others, we welcome Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley back to Current State.
Great to be back on the show. Thank you.
Nice to see you here today. We appreciate your time. One of the bigger developments here this week was the confirmation hearing for Heidi Grether as head of DEQ. What do you think qualifies her to be at the top?
Well, she has a lot of experience, and really it's a big organization that deals with a lot of very complicated issues. There's a regulatory body overall, the majority of the mission of that entity in protecting the environment. And so being able to manage complicated issues and to be effective in carrying out the regulations in a way that protects the environment and also puts reliable systems in place that are understandable and relatable and at the end of the day protect the public. Those are all things that I believe that she is very well suited for and will excel in the position.
How do you respond to the criticism that a former oil company executive should not be in charge of the state agency overseeing the environment?
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. When you might imagine that an entity like this, the number of people that have any experience at all in dealing with the very extensive regulatory environment around so many of the activities that are governed by the regulatory agency, the DEQ, that having experience in those areas and understanding what the requirements are and even having the experience on the other side of the table could be very valuable in carrying out the mission itself. And so that's why I'm confident that we have somebody in place that is going to be able to regulate on equal footing with people on the other side of the equation. You know, it'd be one thing when you have somebody just kind of comes up through the bureaucracy. This is a person who's seen a lot of different sides of this discussion around environmental regulation. And so carrying it out, I think she's in a unique position to be more effective than most people are when they take a position like that.
Well, weren't you hear of optics, though, in politics? Weren't the optics a challenge with this appointment?
Well, this one thing about this administration is, you know, the governor makes decisions based on what he thinks is right, not based on how he thinks the politics will be perceived around it. He's a very apolitical person, doesn't really even have that type of political drive that a lot of people in elected office have. To him, it's just a matter of making the decisions based on what he thinks is best for the people of the state of Michigan, making decisions like it's a family and we want to be effective and successful, and then dealing with whatever politics comes along with that.
You led, I want to get into some of your initiatives, which have been in the news here for quite some time, several of them. You led a statewide prescription drug and opioid abuse task force last year. Now the governor has created an advisory commission. What got done with the task force, and how will the commission use that?
What we're trying to do is create a comprehensive set of recommendations and implement those recommendations to deal with everything from the prevention to treatment to recovery and the regulatory environment around prescription and opioids and how the criminal justice system treats these issues. We really thought that this was a big enough epidemic to require a very comprehensive set of recommendations. Those comprehensive recommendations are meant to mainly prevent people from getting addicted in the first place, and then but then also help us to identify addiction earlier. So some things are moving forward right now. In fact, the legislature had appropriated money to build a new Michigan automated prescription service system that will give doctors the information information that they need when they're making prescriptions. Today, they have to practice blind oftentimes. They can't really see what the prescription history is of a person who is asking for these types of painkillers. And that is a really important component that's missing today. I think even I'd call it the centerpiece of where we need to start in fighting back on this opioid addiction epidemic that we see happening.
But how connected is the legislature right now to what you've put together?
The legislature has done a phenomenal job at adopting these issues. In fact, we put in the resources to build this system that would give doctors the information that they need to practice most effectively. We put it in the budget to start October 1st. They insisted on moving it earlier to a supplemental so we can get started faster on the recommendation implementation. Mm-hmm. So, and then they've also taken other recommendations like the that safe space for a person. You know, if somebody is at a party and another person is having an overdose, we don't want there to be a disincentive for somebody to call 911.
The authorities, okay, yeah.
And so they've already changed the law for younger people. We're trying to get it expanded out to include not just kids, but really for anybody. If there's a 25-year-old having an overdose, I don't want his 25-year-old friend to have to do the calculation, do I want to call for help or not, because I might have some illegal substances in me too. Yeah. That there shouldn't be that. We should put life first.
Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley, our special guest here on Current State, live at the state capitol on AM 870 WKAR. And if you're listening on FM, then it's obviously later in the day. Interestingly, it's been a year to the day since you released a report on how the state could improve schooling and services for special education students. A year later, is the conversation here in Michigan where you would have wanted it to be 12 months ago?
The fact that there's even a conversation happening, and there's some big conversations happening, shows you how far we've come. Before, special education was never part of the education discussion, and now it really is. So a few of the things that I'm really excited about is that the education subcommittee in the House is taking up the restraint and seclusion legislation that was one of the recommendations out of that that task force. And I'm hopeful we can get that all the way through to the governor's desk yet this year. We also put some resources.
That would let's go a little deeper, yes, on please. That, because that would ban the use of forceful restraint and seclusion in Michigan schools, and to promote the safety and dignity of students. I know that some educators were hesitant to support the measure, saying that pretty forceful controls are sometimes needed, regrettably perhaps, but they were sometimes needed to control a young person with challenges who might become really violent and maybe even harm themselves. Is that still still a lot of discussion over that part of it?
We've been working with groups that represent different areas of school interest, maybe administrators, principals, teachers, on the legislation to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that we're not talking about the use of restraint in the event of an emergency. That the legislation doesn't prevent the holding somebody back if they are going to hurt themselves or others. What it does do is it says that you can't use restraint or seclusion rooms, which are like sensory deprivation rooms. You can't use those types of tactics as punishment. You can't use them as behavior modifiers, because what we find is that it makes behavior worse. It when you have somebody that's engaging in some kind of problematic behavior, if you put them down in a Velcro chair, or you put them in a sensory deprivation room, then it tends to escalate the behavior. It makes it worse. It makes school a scary place. It makes school an unsafe place for them. And so that in turn means learning is impossible. And so that's really as we work through to make sure everybody understands, we're not talking about dealing with emergencies. In those cases, there are some cases where you might have to restrain somebody from hurting themselves or others. But in non-emergency situations, it would be disallowed, and then there would also be reporting requirements when it happens.
Let's shift gears a little bit. There has been a call for greater transparency in Michigan. We're one of only two states that exempts the governor and the legislature from the Freedom of Information Act and those requests. Do you think that should change?
Well, it's no secret that I personally sponsored a bill on that subject when I was in the legislature. My personal opinion hasn't changed. I do respect that that there is a process or consideration for several parts of the legislative process. They're working through issues and the deliberations and so forth, and so I would hope that there would be a continuation of the discussion that's already started about what can happen with respect to the Freedom of Information Act and other disclosure issues that that would be appropriate for Michigan to take some steps towards. So, whereas I've personally introduced legislation in the past when I was in the House on the subject, I think that we should look for options across the board on disclosure and transparency that could make a big difference in the trust or the faith that people have in Michigan government.
We've got less than a minute, but Attorney General Bill Schuette seems to be positioning himself for a run for governor in 2018. You've said that your focus right now is on the 2016 elections. When can we expect you to share your future plans, if any?
Well, I do have a philosophy of taking one election cycle at a time, and I also believe that for those who aspire to higher office, they ought to really do right by the office that they currently hold, and so focusing in on doing the very best job that I can in as Lieutenant Governor in this administration, and running through the tape. I don't want to coast or slow things down. That this finish line at the end of this term, I want to be at a dead sprint, and so that's where I'm going to keep my attention and focus. But I'll make sure and let you know when anything changes.
Okay, we'll take you up on that. Spoken like a guy whose favorite number is 26.2.
26.2.
We want to thank Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley for joining us here today on Current State. Best of luck to
you.
Thank you.